In 2017, a bunch of nerds were tasked by a podcasting network to come up with a monthly show. These men promptly came up with the idea for a comic book show where they could educate the masses. Today, they use this show as a platform for helping their fellow nerds in any way they can. If you have a nerdy question, if Google hasn't helped you, and if you have a Facebook account, maybe you can ask the Nerds for Hire.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Nerds for Hire. I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Across the table, I've got Asa Gray.
Yes.
And then making his Podzilla 1985 debut is Trevor Camp.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Trevor Camp is a longtime listener. He's been a good friend of mine since high school. I'm not going to tell you guys how long ago that was, because you don't need to know how old I am.
I know all Jesse's dirty secrets, and as his former roommate, I can tell you just how, what state he leaves everything in.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm really glad that you filled in the friend, you know, since high school, and it's not just like, all right, we got a long-term listener, we're just bringing on. That'd open up the floodgates.
If you want to be on the show, please write to Podzilla 1985 at...
Literally anything at podzilla1985.com. Mm-hmm. I'll get that email.
When was the last time you checked that email?
I check it. I get alerts from it, okay. I guess I should say. Okay. I don't check it all the time, but if I get an alert, I will check it.
Okay.
Do you guys get good stuff?
Sometimes. It's very rare. Mm-hmm. Like, we have gotten a few just fan emails of just like, I really, really like your show, which that stuff fills me with more joy than you could possibly believe. Mm-hmm. And I share it to the group chat.
Oh, yeah.
The famous PZ85 group chat.
We get random... like Facebook messages sometimes too, from just like, hey, just wanted to say, like, I found your show through something, and you guys are a lot of fun. Enjoy listening to Nerd Up or PW or
whichever. Whatever.
Or it's like, or the ones that we get a lot, like from even from like Kevin Huntsberger, who'd be like, well, I mostly listen to PWU, but then I started listening to the other shows, and oh, everything's great.
Oh, see, that takes a lot more effort just to like write a positive thing. So that's like a huge feather in the hat. Because, I mean, I've never liked anything enough to go online and write a review or message anyone over anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm a non-participant in life.
To be fair, though, we don't get a lot of the...
We have gotten one like really negative review. And that's not to say we haven't gotten critical reviews. There's
that's
a reason
about
we
Dalton,
don't.
Wasn't it? It's about Dalton.
It actually wasn't. But there is a reason we don't like swear on this show and most of the shows. Mm-hmm. And there's certain language we don't use on any shows. Mm-hmm. But so those are some of the critical reviews. There is like there's a former cast member that gave us a particularly scathing review in one place.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Please tell me it was Yelp. But you guys are you on Yelp?
We're on Yelp. Find us on Yelp.
I don't think we're on Yelp. I think you have to be a restaurant for that, don't you?
I think you have to be a physical location at all.
Fair enough. Either way, since Trevor, I know you're curious, I'll tell you after the show. I'm not gonna get basically. We also stopped calling people out for bad things on the show. Mm-hmm. We use nicknames.
Mm. I think I'm the one who told you to start doing that.
You are. That's one of the critical reviews.
To be fair, that was also a thing that I had been pushing for a while.
See, like mines.
There you go. So, this week, I know Nerds for Hire started as kind of a comic book show, but there's only so much comic booking we can talk about without going like super in-depth on particular things. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't often make for a very interesting... show for newcomers, especially. Mm-hmm. Because if we go too deep into something that's too obscure, or even something that's not obscure, either they've already heard it or they don't care.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
Yeah. So we're kind of branching into other nerdy stuff, and this week we want to talk about tabletop.
Yes.
You know, board games, card games,
D&D.
Pen and paper. Yeah, all that stuff.
Sweet, sweet D&D, Pathfinder.
We want to talk a little bit about that. And
cardboard crack.
We'll start with like a little bit of the inspiration for this is thanks to Hunter Hendricks. So shout out.
Shout
local
out,
celebrity,
Hunter.
Close personal friend. I think it's been a long time since we used that.
I don't know if we can call him a local celebrity anymore.
I mean, he's still...
I heard an advertisement thing that he did.
Yeah.
Once those are out of rotation, add 3 months, and then I think that's when the local celebrity line gets dropped.
I still
think
get
it's gonna be a while. I love Ben's comment. Okay, so yeah, we'll get to the story here in a second, but I think it'll be a lot longer than 3 months for people to forget Double H.
No. I mean, like, so once he's no longer like take whenever all of the stuff he's recorded, Mm-hmm. Now that's off the air. That's out of the rotation.
Got it.
Then give it 3 months. After that.
And then we have to stop using the local celebrity line?
And then it's the local. Okay, then we got to drop the local celebrity.
I contend that's when you double down.
unless he, like, just out of spite, like, he's listening to this, and he's like, oh, I'm going to start volunteering. I'm just going to, like, voice track certain things and send them in.
There's literally nothing we could do that would make Hunter Hendricks want to do that.
That's fair.
Anyway, yeah, so you know, it got brought up in the group chat. Like, I brought up Magic, and I was like, if only I had somebody to actually play with other than Ben Martin, because I love Ben to death, but like playing against one person all the time gets, you know, a little stale,
because eventually one person is just, especially with something like Magic, it's not like in Smash where playing against you was like smashing my head against a brick wall, but then eventually it was like smashing my head against a drywall. Like, okay, I can actually make a dent here.
Yeah.
Because with Magic, you have to. Ben's going to have this deck that just runs shop.
Yeah.
And now you got to be like, okay, well, there is a very specific counter to this deck. And the card that that deck is built around is like $200.
In fairness to Ben, he has never been the type of person that builds a deck that just runs shop. Ben finds the most fun deck that he can.
Well, I just mean like...
The term is a savant.
The way that the decks are set up is like each deck has kind of like a specific answer to it. Or you can have...
Styles have different styles.
Yeah, you can have very, you know, different elements. So it's...
It's a rock, paper, scissors situation.
And so going one-on-one against the same person... running a similar deck, because like once you find a deck that works, you kind of just want to play that deck.
Yeah, you kind of stick with a style that fits your play.
Because Ben and I did get into a few of those situations where like I would have a deck that just his deck couldn't beat. Like it was just a really poor matchup. And same thing would happen vice versa. So yeah, like that part would get kind of old. So we'd have to rotate in different decks so we can just smash those decks against other types. Which is fun and everything. It's just you want more exposure. And like the local scene around here, like I got burned, so I'm not a huge fan of the local scene here. But I still love playing with my friends. So going back to the group chat, we were talking about it, and I was like, man, I wish I had somebody to play Magic with. And Hunter Hendricks, let's play Magic. He's like, I've been looking at M19 and thinking about buying a box. And I was like, ooh, man, it'd be awesome if we could get a draft night. And so, yeah, we just kind of took off, and you know, I bought a booster box, and we did a draft night. We had it last week.
Sent out the bat signal.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we had a draft night, and it was super fun.
I'm not going to lie. Whenever you messaged me and said, hey, do you want to play Magic? It was kind of like an old drug dealer texting you again.
Yeah, same, except I said no.
You were the smart one, man.
I had my DARE officer in my brain. Officer Al would be so proud of me.
McGruff says no to Magic.
Listen. Yeah, no, Magic can absolutely have that impact on people. It addiction is a real thing, folks.
I'm so mad we're talking about this tonight because... Because he's like, oh, you should do it. Which luckily it turned out that the you guys did it on a CCW night, which I'm not missing. Oh, no, even if I wanted to, I can't do it. But you're like, I mean, because I'm like, I don't want to get addicted again. Because I sunk a stupid amount of money on Magic cards at two different points in my life. And then recently on Pokemon cards.
And they immediately go out of rotation as soon as you spend all that money.
Exactly. So I'm like, I was talking to Audra about it, and she was like, and I was like, Jesse wants me to start playing Magic again, but I'm being strong. I'm saying no. And she's like, good, because just let me know, and I'll just light some of your money on fire. And I was like, no, I really just don't want to get addicted again. And he's like, oh, no, the local scene around here is pretty rough. Like, you won't get addicted. It's be like... No, don't worry. You're not going to get addicted to drugs again. The only dealer in town's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's fine. I was
it's
like,
fine. It's
Walmart
probably good.
Walmart sells boosters, and boosters are so satisfying to open.
Oh. They really
the
are.
The feeling of the foil, the smell.
Yeah.
Everything about opening a booster pack.
It's like opening a fresh pack of cigarettes. You just feel the foil under your hand. You pack it down nice and good and just slide that wrapper off.
Yeah, how's that not smoking anymore going, Trevor?
Been good for about 3-4 years now.
Oh, yeah, good.
Well, since I got married.
That's...
The itch is fresh, like the itch for Magic.
Yeah, the feeling of opening a booster pack is a wonderful thing, so you just kind of have to, like, not buy booster packs. which is hard to do.
But they're Jesse, only $4. That's where the magic cards are. In the booster packs.
That's true. But what you do is you wait for other suckers to open the booster packs, and then they sell the cards to their shops, and their shops sell them on the internet, and then you buy them on the internet.
The individual cards.
Individual cards. Mm. Yeah, that is, for anybody looking to get into Magic, buying booster packs is not, like, that is a perfect way to start building up your collection and getting stuff going. And yeah, sometimes you'll pull that super rare card, that, and it's, and there's no greater feeling in Magic.
Didn't, like,
it's like a gambling rush.
Because I saw it in the group chat, but didn't, like, Hunter or Sarah pull a...
Hunter. Hunter pulled the most expensive card in M19.
Yeah.
Nice.
He doubled... He more than doubled his money on the night.
Nice.
With,
Jesse was
with that
not
open.
Salty at all.
No, that whole box... that ended up being just a crazy booster box.
He's definitely not salty right now.
I'm fine. If I was collecting, I'd be salty.
That's how this starts.
But I'm not playing.
There was actually like two really high value cards in that went to other people that night. And I'm willing to bet that when Jesse opened the rest of those, he did not have another high value.
Yeah, I did.
Two. You had two Planeswalkers?
Weren't Planeswalkers, but two high value cards.
But you didn't get any more Planeswalkers.
I did not.
Okay.
Which is a little bit of a bummer. But yeah, like that ended up being just a crazy high value box. Like, I could have resold like the value cards in that box for more than the box was worth.
Yeah,
which
you could have.
Again, folks, that doesn't happen.
Which, and also,
it's extremely rare. Do not think, oh, Jesse opened a box of M19 and there was value in it. That doesn't mean you will too.
Yeah, because no. Something very similar happened with the Pokemon cards. Like, I had a killer, like one of those $40. It wasn't a full booster box, but like those $40.
I call them fat packs.
The fat packs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I had, like, a killer one. And then you opened up yours and you had, like, nothing.
Yep. Oh. I don't know. I'm, like, when it comes to me opening boosters, I remember there was a set that released that reprinted Fetchlands. Fetchlands, for the uninitiated, it's a method of deck thinning. They're very expensive cards.
I feel like we're using a lot of magic words the non-magic player doesn't understand.
I know.
Like,
I'm trying
deck
to be
thinning.
Yeah, but because the other
it's
thing
type
I
of lacquer you put on that.
yeah, just go with deck thinning. The point is, it makes the deck better, and they were traditionally very expensive land cards. They reprinted a set from an original set that was even more expensive, like ridiculously so. And put them into... All right, I'm going to stop using words like that.
You can do this.
I'm just going to move past that and say they reprinted them, and I desperately wanted them, and so did Ben.
There you go.
There were a lot of high-value cards in this set in general. Ben and I each bought a booster box and just had a night of opening.
Oh, that's such a good night.
Oh, my God, it was wonderful.
Such a fun night to do.
Me and Ben each opened 36 booster packs. And oh my God, that's so much fun.
Envisioned you throwing all the new cards and booster packs on your bed and walling around in it like Scrooge McDuck.
No, because that would damage the cards.
Maybe just the empty wrappers.
And Breaking
then.
Bad when they lay down on the bed of money.
So yeah, we open these. Now Ben gets, I believe the number was 4 of these special lands. Jesse got 1.
Oh, I'm surprised you got 1.
I was too.
It came in like the last pack. And I was like, somewhat redeemed. All right. It was a terrible value box. And I was very upset.
It's like getting kicked in the shins, but then somebody tousling your hair going, it's okay, buddy.
A little bit.
You were in a Sour Patch Kids commercial.
Because on top of that, like, I didn't get anything else in that box. Like, my box was such bad value. And Ben's ended up being, like, the Fetchlands were some of the cheaper cards that he got. Like, the value in his box, and I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Well, the world just loves Ben more than it loves you. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
I've met Ben. I love him more than you.
That's fair.
I might love him more than I love my parents. He's too pure for this world. I just want to smother him with a pillow.
He is too pure for this world.
Yes. That's accurate. Yeah. I miss Krista for a lot of reasons, but one in particular, I always had her pick out my booster packs. And my fat packs and anything else, because I always opened value when she picked them out. I remember one time she got me a fat pack. I opened a foil mythic rare, which is the...
Explain that shiny. to the audience.
Yeah, so you have different rarities of cards. You have common, which is like your black. You have your silver is your uncommon. Gold is rare. And then you have this orange color logo that's mythic rare. And like there's supposed to be one in a few hundred or something like that. I don't remember the ratio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have...
I also drew one of those in draft, by the way.
Nice.
Or a mythic rare?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, just real quick, draft is you get a group of people together.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. Well, we've said it a bunch of times already, so I just
Yeah, that's fair. You're right, and I do want to explain that. Let's finish the story first. Okay. Then you have foil. Every pack has a chance of containing a foil card. Foil is just shiny is what it means. Just
we
call
them
like.
Holographic in Pokemon times. Yeah. Back on the schoolyard.
Accurate. Can confirm. But any rarity card can be foil. So not only is it rare to get anything more than an uncommon in a foil, I got a mythic rare foil. And on top of that, it was a very valuable mythic rare.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Archangel of Thune, which anybody out there that plays Magic back in this era knows what I'm talking about. Otherwise, don't worry about it.
The rest
important.
Of us are just going to nod our heads.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And be happy for you.
Yeah, it was at this point, Archangel of Thune was, I think, a $35 card. The foil was $110.
Oh, did you immediately flip the card, or were you like collector brain and I have to hold on to this forever?
I immediately flipped it.
Okay.
There you go.
Because I knew it wasn't going to get any more valuable just because,
nothing in Magic stays valuable?
That's not true.
Okay,
most things in Magic don't stay valuable.
But the things that stay valuable...
Mother of God.
You can get a down payment on a house if you get the right card.
Yeah.
What was it, Black Lotus? What does that go for now?
Several thousand.
Oh, insane.
Yeah, folks, there's a piece of cardboard that someone will pay several thousand dollars for.
Yeah. And there's no blackmail or secrets on it at all. It's just pictures and words.
Yeah.
But it's magic.
It's a whole new kind of magic.
Hilariously, Black Lotus, not playable in any format.
No. Yeah, it's banned in like everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does it do?
I looked it up one day.
It's zero mana. It costs zero to play, three mana. Add to your pool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You discard it and add three mana to your pool.
Yeah, that's kind of broken.
Very.
There's a reason they don't like it.
Yeah. Especially if you have more than one in your turn. Can you imagine dropping a 6-drop on turn one?
Yeah. That's how you do that.
Gross.
7-drop on turn one, actually. Because you can have, if you had two of them in a land to play. Yeah.
Heck, you got three in there and a beast, man. That's game over. Like round two.
That's scoop.
Yeah. That's ending a friendship.
Okay, now we just used a bunch of phrases.
I was going to say, this is terrible.
Ooh, yeah, that's a bad idea.
All right, so first we're going to explain draft. Draft is a super fun format to play, especially for beginners. Basically, everybody buys three booster packs. You open a booster pack, and you take a card out of it, and then you pass the rest of the cards to your person on your left.
Usually take the nicest card in the very back of the pack.
Yep, and then you just keep doing this until you run out. You open your second booster, pass it to the right. Third booster, pass it to the left. You do this, and the cards that you pull from the packs, you make your deck out of, plus lands provided by wherever you're playing.
Mm-hmm. In this case, Jesse's house.
Right, where Jesse has so much land. So much
tracks.
Land.
Tracks of land.
Acreage. What kind of acreage are you sitting on?
Many
acreage.
Yeah, so that's how you play draft. It's super fun. It's a limited format is what they call it. You build a 40-card deck.
Yeah, you build a little 40-card deck, and then you sit around and play people.
Yep. And, yeah, basically it's not all luck because you are drafting, so you're pulling cards as you go.
I'm going to remind you said that when we bring up how I beat you.
I didn't say it wasn't luck. I said it wasn't all luck. Because it's like poker and chess combined. There's a factor of luck to everything. But, yeah, at the end of the day, like, there's still a lot of skill involved.
It's true. It's kind of poker and chess.
Which is the main reason that I'm not going to get back into it. Because I am neither lucky nor skillful.
But getting skillful is easy.
It's just a money hole.
Yeah, I'm mostly just lucky.
Am I good yet?
Honestly, you can be.
Also, for how much that we complain about pay to win.
That game is pay to win.
That's card games. You just kind of accept that going in.
It's not like a Warhammer.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, God. Now, that is a money pit. that I really want to try one day.
I just want to paint the minis. That's all I want. I don't even care about the game. Just give me the minis to paint.
It's fair. It's fair. So,
I have an addiction.
Yeah, it's fun. Painting minis is fun.
Anyway, that's for later.
Yeah. So, yeah, Magic the Gathering. So that's why we kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit, because I've been trying to get Asa back into it. I've gotten Trevor into it.
You got me to go to a draft. I'm not like rooting around the nightstand for change to pick up a booster pack just yet.
No,
yet.
But this is this also isn't the first time that I've gotten you into it.
Yeah. You've gotten me into a lot of you've made me spend a lot of money.
Jesse's good at that.
Yeah, I know.
Trevor's one of the earliest people to figure that out.
I have built up somewhat of an immunity to that, like just because he's been doing this to me since high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not invulnerable. Not. He knows where the chinks in the armor are. He knows.
Just gotta save it, and you gotta really look for it.
Yeah.
He is the hardest target.
That magic man, that cardboard crack.
Yeah, he's the exact opposite of Dalton.
Yeah.
Dalton, poor. Buy this. I don't want it. Dalton, buy this. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Well, it's either that or it's like, Dalton, buy this. No. Dalton, buy this. No. Flash forward 12 hours. I hate you, Jesse.
You just got to plant the seed. Plant it just right. You got to water it with a little bit of extra.
You're so good at Stardew Valley.
A little soil. A little fertilizer.
Yep. Yeah. You just takes a little bit. And time.
Monster.
Takes time.
You're a bad person, and you should know that.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know why any of you are friends with me.
I don't know.
You're so lovable, though.
It's true.
Yay. So magic. Going back there, there's a few ways to get into it if you are interested in getting into magic. Like I said, the limited formats are super easy. If you have a local card shop, find out what they do on Friday nights. Most places are going to be super friendly and helpful to you when you go in. There are a few places where you go in and they just, like, you know, shun the newcomer.
See, and I want to disagree with that. I feel like most places are pretty already, they got their group, and that's all they really care about. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to be, like, they're going to think you're an idiot.
I'm
like,
kind of with Asa on this one.
Because, like, the number of good shops to the number of bad shops I've been to, I have been to too good, and everything else I would say I would rank from either it was okay to just downright awful. The best shop was they closed their storefront in the last couple years, but it was out in Virginia when I was living there. It was a comic book store that also had tabletop games. They ran D&D campaigns, and they had Friday Night Magic. And it was the coolest place because the owner made it a conscious decision to make sure that that is the most welcoming place you can have for new people.
And you kind of got to do that if you want to have
you want to be successful. People in,
if you want to be successful.
There were signs up about, like, not only just like personal hygiene, because you have that stereotype that is kind of based in truth sometimes.
I've never been to a magic tournament that didn't smell like a junior high locker room.
There
it's
you
just
go.
Axe, BO, and desperation.
There you go. But it was like, so it's like, hey, if you have a hygiene issue, we will pull you aside. They're not going to do it in front of everybody. Just be like, hey, this is a thing. Go take care of it. Come on back. And it was, but they also had signs about toxic behavior. Mm. Like, hey, if you're up against a new person,
yeah,
explain the cards. If they ask, roll your eyes every time they ask for a card read or a judge or anything like that. You know, be cool.
Yeah.
So I went, I kind of got a little bit into magic. I was real bad at it. One of the guys that I played at the end of our game was like, hey, find me after. I have something for you. So at the end of the night, he just hands me this giant binder of commons and uncommons. And he's like, and they were all like from a recent set. He's like, I'm never going to use these.
Did you lose to this man?
Oh, like every game. Like, I have literally never won a game of magic.
Oh.
That may not be true. I may have, like, won house rules on those, like, pre-made decks.
There you go.
Outside of that, I have never won a game of Magic. And he's like, you know, go through. You have some good ideas here, but, like, this might help you kind of flesh some of that out. Because I'm terrible at card building and just in general. Or deck building, I should say.
And you found the Magic the Gathering Jesus.
And it was the cool. And, like, everybody was like that. Like, everybody was super. Because we did a draft night. Mm. And the guy that I was handing cards to was, like, helping me. He's be like, okay, so I actually really want that card, but for what you're going for, that's the one you're going to want. and like was just super helpful. Everybody was just so nice, and it was great.
The more you tell this story, the more I think you're just lying.
No, and I'm not, because then the reason I didn't even want to go to that place was because I don't remember the name of it. It wasn't the main one. Like, it wasn't the one that's still open, I think. But down in Sykeston, me and my roommate at the time were walking around Hastings, saw some magic, and we're like, remember magic? Yeah. That, it was so cool. Like, the art was super cool, and, like, it was kind of fun to play. Like,
I got all this money in my pocket I wasn't doing anything with.
Kind of. So we went, we each bought, like, one of those starter decks, and we played against each other, and then we started buying boosters, and we're like, well, we actually both have a Friday off. You want to go to a Friday Night Magic somewhere? Like, sure.
That's how the movie starts.
we get down to the shop in Sykeston, and we walk in, and they can immediately smell the new person on us.
Because you showered.
Well, I was about to say, especially in that place in Sykeston, like it. I know it may not be like that now. The handful of times that I've been in there, it's very much that place where you walk in, it's like no one in here has showered in days.
I don't think this place is still open.
Okay. Well, because there is one that's still open that's mm-hmm. gone through like 9 different owners.
And maybe,
in the last 4 years.
And maybe it is, and maybe it's just like the owner changed on it, so it, like that's why I think it closed, but I don't think it's still open. But so, and like from the people who were playing to the employees to the judges, we were nothing but an annoyance because we were not diehard, knew exactly what we were doing. And that immediately was like, oh, well, this is a cure for opening boosters, being treated like human garbage for wanting to join in a hobby.
And see, all right, hold on. You remember that thought?
Oh.
Because that's what I meant when I said the scene around here kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, and because.
That's why I got out of Magic originally, because I played with just you and Ben and Krista and like whoever, like over at your place.
Yeah, whoever came over
and
played.
And then I think I went to like a couple Magic. Or no, it was a Comic-Con. I went and they had like a big Magic tournament.
Yeah.
And I remember like talking to some of the people in there and just kind of looking at how angry everyone just seemed and unhappy.
Yeah, because I remember that one in particular.
I was like, this isn't, no, I'm done.
Because that was a Pro Tour qualifier.
Oh,
yeah, which is, you know, super high stakes, intense situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody paid at least $25 to be in that tournament.
Not a smile among them.
No. I left that tournament real salty because I won one, lost one, drew 3. Oh, my God, I was so mad.
And for those who don't know, because I didn't know this the other day, drawing means you run out of time because most of the time because the other guy takes too dang long.
Because it's a best of 3, so the only way to draw is to go to time. So, yeah, it would be like I would win one, he would win one, we'd go to game 3. Or, like, he would win one, I would sideboard in and correct, win one, and then we'd go to game 3 and time out.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no clear winner, then nobody wins, draw. Ugh.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, super annoying. But anyway, beside the point, yeah, I will say, whenever Coffee's Comics and Games opened here in Cape,
mm-hmm.
that place was awesome. Because, I mean, it started out small. There was no, like, pre-existing clientele or anything like that. It was just, you know, people coming to that shop. That's where I got started. It was, like, me, Ben, and Katie.
Yeah. I remember you taking me in there a few times to pick up Magic cards and, like, round out a deck.
Because, yeah, like, it's a wonderful place to go and, like, fill in those commons and uncommons because they're typically in a box and they're, like, 10 cents a piece or a quarter for an uncommon and 50 cents for some rares because they're just not, you know, super rare. So, yeah, either way.
Terrible name for them.
Right? Super valuable, I guess, is the other way to put that. Like, nobody wants these rares, so they're 50 cents.
They're the unloved children.
So we'd go into this shop, and that, like I said, that's actually where we got started. That's why we got started. And I started a draft league with Ben and Katie, and we got like 9 other people, and we met once a week for a couple months, and we just drafted every week and only one pack after the first week, and we built decks out of it. We increased the deck size gradually, and then by the end of it, everybody had standard decks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super fun.
Because in draft, you start with just for the 40 cards, but a standard deck is 60.
Right.
Standard deck is 60, and standard is a style of play that rotates out in like a year.
Yeah,
so if you have a really nice set of, like, really nice deck now, in a year, it's useless.
Standard is the most current two blocks.
Isn't it 3?
No. No. At least I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's 2.
Maybe Pokemon it's 3. I don't know.
That might be true.
Because if you,
you gotta
like,
keep up with a lot if you've of ever, stuff.
See, and that's the thing, and that's another thing that I don't like about it, is you're constantly having to buy.
Yeah.
Because like right now, the core set for 2019 just came out. Here in a couple months, they're going to have the next the expansion. And then that expansion, and then after a few months, there'll be another expansion.
Yeah, because basically the way they do it in blocks, they changed it up recently. But yeah, you get like a core set, then you get a, which I think this is the first core set they've done in a while. I could be wrong about that. It's been a minute since I've been in Magic. But then you get a block, which consists of two sets, and they're just kind of related to each other lore-wise, because Magic does have lore. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's really interesting. Sometimes it's not. Yeah, then you get like two sets to a block. Then they'll do another two sets to a block, and then they'll do another like core set.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when that next core set comes out, the next set rotates that first block.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how Standard is played, is the most current stuff. Then you have Modern, which is pretty much everything that's been released since, like, the year 2000. It's roundabout.
The Conan O'Brien bit just popped into my head.
The year 2000. So, yeah, so Modern ends up being, like, and I wish, okay, I say I wish. I wish that I had listened when people told me that you should not invest heavily into Standard because you will regret it. Unless you want to just keep spending money. Standard is way more expensive in the long run than Modern. Modern is expensive if you want to build like one of the top-tier decks.
It is a pay-to-win system.
Yeah, but you don't have to build a top-tier deck to do well. Like, I took my cheap Modern deck to a couple of tournaments and went top 8.
Mm-hmm. What's a cheap Modern deck, Jesse? Just for the audience.
This one cost me $70.
Okay, that's actually not bad. What's a normal Modern deck run you price wise?
About 1,200 if you want one of the top tiers.
There we go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, never. Yeah. Never again.
Yeah, like
next
I said,
topic.
That's like three car payments.
That's if you want one of the like payments. Premier top tier decks.
Mm-hmm.
There are like top tier decks that are way cheaper than that, like 500 to 600.
Oh,
but
that
that's
all?
Still yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You got like 500 to 600 laying around.
The worst part
about cardboard.
You can build most of that deck for like $60.
It's like two cards.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, there's like eight cards that'll cost you the other 430 or whatever. It can get kind of ridiculous. But again, over time, like it ends up being cheaper. Like the way I built the way I started to build one of my decks, I was playing like in the limited formats, like draft and sealed is what that means. Sealed is similar to draft, except you buy six booster packs
and you keep all of them
and just you make a deck out of six booster packs, which I never liked because once again, as we've talked about, booster packs don't treat. I love booster packs. They don't love me.
No, they don't.
I have to have somebody else pick out my packs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. I just accept
RNGesus
it and move
frowns
on.
Frowns upon you when it comes to trading cards.
Absolutely.
It's probably because you've convinced everyone else to be in the poorhouse. It's that sweet karma coming back.
No.
No, it's not it.
That
There's
can't
no
be
such
true.
Thing. It's karma. Terrible people win.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the way I would do it is just go to these tournaments and I would rack up store credit,
mm-hmm.
and then I would get enough store credit that I would just get the card that I needed.
That's like selling drugs so you can afford to do drugs.
Yeah. it's selling weed so you can afford to do heroin. Like,
I don't think you understand how expensive heroin is, sir.
Is it? Oh, it did get cheaper, didn't it?
I don't know. What is this?
Might
I would know.
This might
because
shock you.
Corrected me.
I go for the humor. There's not necessarily fact behind it.
Oh, fair enough.
I just say things, Jesse. I don't fact check.
Well, because the way you were talking made it sound like, oh, is heroin way cheaper than weed? Did I get this wrong?
Yeah,
I thought it was way more expensive.
No, yeah, you're just. But that store loves you.
Yeah,
because they did.
Because they changed buildings,
mm-hmm.
they changed ownership. The new owner was very pro clubhouse, and it got like it became very uninviting.
Which it can be fine, like because getting a clubhouse like that mentality is fine as long as you are open to your clubhouse expanding.
Exactly,
but whenever you get like a core group of people somewhere who shun all outsiders and aren't open to like trying new things, that's when you run into problems.
And when I first started going to the shop, like I said, me, Ben, and Katie bought a bunch of cards, and we just built some terrible decks. Andrew actually just did this. He bought a deck builder's kit. I expected Asa to react to that.
No, I mean, I've been looking at them. No, okay, let me rephrase that.
Asa, no.
They've been looking at me. Asa, like, no. I will go out and try to, like the other night. The night that I decided that, you know, it had kind of a rough, little rough patch. It was like I was going to treat myself to an action figure, and I ended up just buying socks and underwear.
Man, you were adulting on a whole nother
yeah,
level.
Yeah, I was not thrilled with myself.
Just but get home and disappointed
but
in
everywhere
yourself.
That I went, like between like Walmart and Target and like Barnes & Noble and stuff that I went to just kind of look around at stuff, every single one of them had magic cards and every single one of them had that tool builder's...
the deck builder's toolkit.
Deck builder's toolkit, yeah.
Yeah, and every convenience store sells cigarettes too.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, it's only like $25. Like, that's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not.
So Andrew bought one though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we
I
all
walked
built
in and they were playing
that
today.
Poor boy.
Yeah, he's moving, a monster. Jesse is a monster
you
for this.
In with Andrew was the worst thing that could have happened.
Oh,
to him.
That poor child.
Ouch.
No.
I contend Jesse's move
see, there
is
you
just
go. As long as you can admit that.
I contend Jesse's move is just to keep him like spending money on this stuff and poor so he can never leave him or move out. It's a solid plan, and I guarantee it's going to start working now.
Finding new roommates is hard.
Oh, poor Andrew. Andrew, I know you're not going to listen to this, but my heart breaks for you, buddy. Good luck.
So anyway, I no, I don't.
We've been
want
on magic
to.
For a while.
Yeah, we have. It's fine. Because I basically just wanted to finish with we started with the because the local scene used to be good. Coffee's mm-hmm. was great because I had a very similar experience to what you had mm-hmm. When I went to Coffee's the first time. After Ben and I were like, well, we have standard decks. Let's go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And we got destroyed.
Oh yeah.
And we were shown like all of the problems that we had with our decks, like, you know, some of the huge, like, you know, beginner mistakes that we were making right. and how to fix them. And one of the big things that we were lacking was consistency. Mm-hmm. That was something that really needed to get hammered home because we had like several what you call one ofs. You can have up to four of any one card with the exception of land. Mm-hmm. And we had so many cards where we had like, you know, one of or mm-hmm. two of, and we needed four because they were great cards, or yeah. maybe don't put any of those because they're actually terrible. I know it looks cool, but it's awful.
Right.
Like he gave us, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff, but, and it was extremely helpful. I mean, mm-hmm. there were a total of like, there weren't very many people that night because the store was still kind of new. There were like six or seven people, but every person we played was, you know, super helpful. Like, you know, helping us with some of the rules that were a little bit more intricate. Like, you know, welcoming, and it was great. And that shop was that way for as long as Coffee owned it. But then it sort of just, and I heard it's gotten better, mm-hmm. so I can't like talk too much smack on it. But yeah, the last time I went, it was just, I got that same feeling that Asa got when he walked into Sykeston. And I'm not even a newbie. Mm-hmm. Like, I walked in and like,
you're like,
who dis?
And like, I'm your god.
And it's, yeah,
I mean, you have enough nerd cred in this town that you can walk in and say that to somebody. I feel like I'm
at one
king.
Time for sure.
Shut up.
Especially when I would walk in with like Katie,
women,
yeah,
any
like,
woman
I would
at
walk
all,
in with like
just any woman, really.
I would walk in with three. Like, I gotta have Katie, Lily, and Krista with me. It's like, oh, yeah. Sup?
who is this?
This man's rolling deep.
clear him a room. Clear him a chair. We make sure he comes back. He brought women.
He brought angry women.
Those girls.
yeah, that, I mean, hopefully your shop is cool and you can go in and you can hang out and you can have fun. Magic is super easy to get into, like, if you want to get into it. It just...
It's easy to get into. It's really complicated to, like, get really good at it.
Yeah, if you want to go any further than having fun on Friday nights, mm-hmm. then it's going to cost you some money and it's going to cost you some effort. But if you just want to go hang out on Friday nights, super easy, super fun.
Especially like, if you can get, like, people like that at that shop who want to do, like, a draft league.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Because that is, those are a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's also a lot of tools online to help you get
so
started.
Many.
And, like, that will mm-hmm. break down terminology and, you know, how to build a deck. You know, why you, what, how, the number of land cards you need versus spells and creatures. What the different kinds of decks are. What the different play styles are. Geek and Sundry just They have a handful of those right now.
Geek & Sundry's so magical.
I sent you that one video of like how to get into magic or how to play magic, and I ended up watching that video. It was like over an hour, which I was not expecting, but I was bored, so I was just watching it. And they go over like, oh, so she has this deck. This is what, you know, she's putting things in, and then they play a game.
Huh. Yeah,
and it was just kind of like, yeah,
that's a good way to start if you're curious.
Yeah, and you know, once you get a little bit into it, you kind of learn how to play. You've gone to a couple of drafts, stuff like that. Maybe played a little bit of FNM. If you want to get into Modern, the best thing I can recommend to you is don't go out and build one of those top tier decks immediately, for a lot of reasons.
First, it's gonna get a really high paying job.
It's gonna cost you a small fortune. B, just because you have that deck doesn't mean you can pilot it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just how it works.
You have to know how it works and what to look for and win conditions and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, you can give me the same deck as you give Ben, and I guarantee you it's not the same outcome.
No.
Right. And no two 100%. People pilot a deck the same way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can't like it's kind of similar to a rowboat analogy. Just because you can row a boat doesn't mean you can sail a. Trevor, give me a, or one of you two, give me a complicated boat.
Sailboat.
How about a brigate?
All right, I don't, because I started to say yacht.
Galleon.
But like,
how about a galleon?
Sure.
Schooner. Can we go with a schooner?
A cruise ship.
Because I play a lot of Sea of Thieves.
Because I started to go with something like a yacht or something like that. I was like, you know what? Those are probably really easy to sail because it likely does most of the work for you because they're for rich people.
I mean, I've seen Moana, so I'm pretty sure I could get around on a sailboat.
Yeah. Same.
Like, it's you tie stuff down, then you let it go. It's fine.
Yeah, we got this. Yeah, hand in the water.
Hand in the water.
Right. Sometimes it gets warm. Wait a minute.
All right. So, yeah, that's you can't just dive straight into these top-tier decks.
Honestly, your best bet is to get a number of people who are also interested in Magic.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get a group of beginners together and just learn together and build together,
so much
that's
fun.
Your best bet.
Yep.
And then you can eventually go as a group, because then at least you have backup. Because going to a Friday Night Magic, even if you have the greatest shop, is nerve-wracking if you're going by yourself. Because it's all these new people that who are more knowledgeable than you in this one specific thing that everyone's there for, and
yeah.
So if you can have, you know, a couple of friends to come with you, or one person to come in with you.
Yeah, but either way, the point I was getting to though, the deck that I was talking about that I did pretty well with, that I found on the internet, because yeah, building decks you find on the internet a lot of times is going to be a better way to win games. There's a whole website devoted to budget Modern decks that all cost less than $100. And you could Google it, budget Modern decks, find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that I love doing with Magic, especially if you are just going to play with friends, you could do something called proxying. Basically, you
this
print
is where
out,
I live.
You print out the cards that's not tournament legal, and you just play with those to try it out. If you like it, buy the cards, put it in a deck, go play it.
Never get to that second step.
You got to find something you like. So yeah, that's Magic.
And if it sounded complicated, it's because it is.
Is that legal?
I mean, to do in your bedroom by yourself?
Like, if you're like
that just, came out weird.
Like just printing, like doing proxying and just playing like against friends. Like, because I know it's not tournament legal because you have to have the actual card. But is that legal to do?
They're selling those pieces of cardboard with pictures on it. I think they're making enough money.
Yeah, but
it's
the people
okay.
who, like, draw the pictures and print the cardboard are getting paid for that, too.
As far as I know, as long as you're not making money off the situation, it's no big deal.
Like, you can't sell, like, I can't print out a, you know, on just cardstock paper and put a Black Lotus in a sleeve and be like, $500, please.
No, but you can print off a picture of the Mona Lisa and hang it in your house. It's totally legal. Nobody's coming for you.
I don't know if that analogy holds up, but all right.
I mean,
the Mona Lisa is not for sale, that and is not in circulation.
All
around
right,
the world.
Something else that's for sale in a picture. I don't know.
I mean, in complete fairness,
like download a car would
a lot of those
in a heartbeat.
Right?
Not even thinking twice.
As soon as I can.
A pirate's life for me.
But yeah, no. I mean, in complete fairness, like Wizards isn't making money off these either anymore. Like the cards that you would buy off the internet, Wizards sees none of that. Like if it's not in circuit, if Wizards isn't printing it anymore,
I guess that's true. They do have like there is that secondhand market.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to feel bad about defrauding a multi-billion-dollar company with your printer.
Eat the rich.
So yeah, like it's a fun way to try stuff out. Like yeah, I do recommend, you know, supporting the people. like that are doing this by like buying booster packs occasionally, like, or doing your drafts.
The cards you're getting
like
in Modern, a lot of them you're not going to be, the only way you're going to find them is in secondhand stores.
Right, you're not going to be able to
find. It's the same argument as like emulating a Game Boy Advance game.
Right.
Like Nintendo is never, minus the fact that I guess Nintendo does have like the eShop and stuff, but so I kind of talked myself out of that. But there's no version of that in Magic.
Right.
Like there's Magic the Gathering online, but I think even then you can only buy boosters for what's like
standard.
Yeah,
for current stuff. You can, yeah, you can even then it's still current. Secondhand.
Yeah, so.
You buy it with ticks.
Yeah.
Tickets.
Okay, T-I-X. I was like the little.
I don't know why they do it that way.
Boo.
It's weird. Magic Online is, stay away from Magic Online.
Pokemon Online. Pokemon cards online.
That's a way better system.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, no, Magic the Gathering Online is not a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, probably a good thing considering, but.
That's okay. I spend enough time doing dumb things. I don't need that too. Yeah, I can, I'll just fair. Let that community be toxic. It's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with it. All right, so the other thing we want to talk about now that we're 45 minutes into the show. Hope
we
you've
about
enjoyed.
Magic for 45
Dear
minutes?
Dear Lord.
Yes, we did. That happened.
You had me on the most boring show. No.
It was interesting and funny, and people will laugh.
I'm really interested to see like the metrics of like how long people wait until they turn off.
If only I could see that information.
I know.
Message us if you're still here.
I hope it's as soon as they figured out I wasn't Dalton. I like to believe in my head that Dalton's the linchpin here.
You hear that, Dalton?
He doesn't. He doesn't.
No, Dalton listens to these shows.
Yeah, he does?
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Hey, Dalton.
He even listens to ones that he's on.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw.
I don't know if he does that anymore.
Oh, I know he used to because he...
Like well, we all used to, for sure.
No, Jesse never did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody lies to Jesse that his voice is awesome. he doesn't believe you.
That's fair. I will also probably not listen to this, even though I listen to like all y'all's nerd shows. I don't like the sound of my voice. It's wrong.
Whenever you're doing something that doesn't require actual headphones, just like download it and play it, but turn the volume all the way down.
5 minutes.
We just need like the 5 minutes. And then
just hit that 5 minutes. Yeah. Just get that bump for you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Fair enough. We like fake hits.
Mm-hmm.
Do what we can. Anyway, next the fun thing.
D&D. Talk about that for a few minutes. So that's something else that, because I didn't think that we'd be able to talk about Magic for an hour. Little did I know. So, yeah, I also plan on talking about D&D a little bit and some other tabletop stuff like board games because Andrew, in fairness, I did not get him into board games.
No, yeah.
No, he came with you, came to you with that addiction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. D&D was just like the next step that I kind of pushed him into.
You were kind of like, you've tried cocaine. Try some crack.
To be fair, though, he was kind of dipping a toe in D&D and then you came up behind him. And the next thing he knows, he's like, he's deep sea diving.
Yeah.
His transition was, yeah, he went quick.
Oh, he did. And we reaped all the benefits.
So D&D, yeah. D&D is super fun to play if you've got a good group of people to play with.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dependent on the people.
Yes, it is.
This is a lot harder to find, like, to get into.
Yep.
Then like Magic would be so much. Magic is a lot easier to get into than like a tabletop RPG like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
because it very much depends on your group of people. It very much depends on who's running your game.
Yes,
I have been very fortunate. I have had Andrew's the fourth person I've had Dungeon Master,
mm-hmm.
and I am 4 for 4 in just like really cool, really knowledgeable, a lot of fun. Like super understanding even though I've played Dungeons and Dragons now like 4 separate times,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the F I'm doing. I don't understand how a lot of the most basic stuff works.
You're doing fine, buddy.
Oh yeah. Well now I just remember it's like, okay, I get to shoot twice. I've written down all of my abilities that I can like really do.
Like, yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
And I love the answer of, can I try this thing? Roll for it.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about, and that's actually one of the big ways that I got Trevor sold on D&D. Because after I moved in across the parking lot from Trevor,
it's mm-hmm. been very convenient for me.
One morning, he and I were talking about D&D because I was playing with Hunter Hendricks, mm-hmm. Once again, local celebrity, close personal friend.
Because really, shouldn't we be focusing more on that second one?
Well, absolutely. that's the emphasis. It's just, you know, that extra adage. But anyway, he dungeon mastered for us for a D&D 4th edition campaign. And There's so many different ways to play D&D. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
So many different ways to play this game.
I don't
know
if we can get into all the different
ways. We can't. I'm just going to get into some of the popular ones.
Yeah. That's an entire show.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
We do an entire show series. On D&D.
So we were playing a 4th edition campaign. Hunter wanted to DM for us. I had played D&D like once before in my life, so I had a very vague understanding. But most of the stuff was already like written out for me. I just made a few choices and rolled some dice.
On the off chance that JR is listening to this, because whenever he offered, and I was like, I've played twice before. I've been on two different campaigns. Neither one went super long. But if JR is listening, remember that time Ben died? Twice?
I need JR to message now. So, we played this. It was super fun. Like, we had, like, that edition was definitely different than what I had played before. The combat, it was very combat heavy in terms of like how the rules went down.
This is fourth edition you're talking about? Okay.
Lots of variety and stuff like that. And one of the things that I love about D&D in general, and how I, you know, talked Trevor into doing this, talked about how some of our combat stuff went. Like, there's, and it's like Asa said, can I do this? Roll for it. Yeah, you can do anything so long as it's within the limits of, you know, physics
and
or reality.
I have ticked my DM off so many times, I feel like asking for ridiculous stuff.
Just as an example, this most recent campaign we're playing, the most recent night that we had, Trevor plays a character that likes to grapple things.
He's a big old barbarian.
And he can't grapple things unless they're one size bigger than him.
Because he's a Goliath.
This thing was two sizes bigger than him. So he drank a potion of growth and then grappled the giant god serpent.
To be fair, this potion that he drank, it's not like he just got it and then like, oh, I can do this. He got this months ago.
Yeah, now. Like, I squirreled it away.
Thanks, Windows.
I contend it's because you didn't click fast enough. This is on you.
Oh, because it sent me that alert at the beginning of the episode, like right after we had started recording. And I was like, all right, pick a time. And I kept waiting for the window to pop up. It didn't, but it also didn't restart. So I thought we were good. Clearly, we were not.
Turns out, no.
All right, so to finish this off here, D&D, whole lot of fun because you are limited literally by your imagination.
It's a theater, what they call theater of the mind kind of game.
And it's just insane amounts of fun, especially if you can find a good group, you can find a good DM. Whenever we first started, we knew, like, Asa and I had played a little bit of 4th edition. Asa wasn't even in our first 5th edition campaign. So, like, I had played a little bit of 4th edition.
Oh, the first one with Andrew?
My first one with Andrew.
We drafted you.
You did! Very aggressively.
We've wanted you there.
You took me to dinner.
Yeah.
To be like, you should play D&D with us.
You gotta woo him, man. Ain't you ever done this before?
And we courted him, and he's been happy ever since. We played this first 5th edition campaign. The very first one we did, I was actually the DM for it. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I'd ever DM'd for anything. And we bought like this really cheap intro to magic, like
highly
intro 5th edition.
Highly
recommend it. This thing cost me $15 on Amazon. They sent it to me with like a pre-made campaign ready to go and pre-made character sheets ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You just divvy out the character sheets to your players. They are gender ambiguous. You can do whatever you want with that. And yeah, you just play the game. It gives you a little bit of like character information so you can try to get into the role playing if you want. Some basics of like combat and stuff like that. Super fun campaign to run. And then Andrew went hard.
He went ham.
He bought every book.
Everything.
And then when D&D Beyond became a thing, he bought all the internet versions of the books.
A second time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately buying the physical one does not get you the digital one. So he bought all the books so that we could use D&D Beyond through his account. And we had access to everything.
Have you ever used D&D Beyond on his account?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have not ever.
Well, I mean, only because, like, if you are in a campaign that he's running, you have access to everything that he's bought.
Oh, I know that. I've just never used it as a reference to look up anything.
Oh.
Which is probably kind of terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Like, it's easier to, like, find, you know, just Google real quick, but... whenever I'm doing the character building or stuff like that, like all of that, all of those resources right there, super convenient.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever you're doing character building, it's really nice. Yeah.
So there is a ton of different ways to play D&D. There's a ton of different modes, ton of different game types. I personally highly recommend 5th edition. It really streamlines and simplifies a whole bunch of stuff without like, you know, making it too easy and simplistic. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it allows for a lot of freedom of choice of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I personally love that. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty easy to get into. Like Asa said earlier, though, a lot of your D&D experience will very much be dependent upon your group. Mm-hmm. We're a bunch of funny people, so we have fun with it.
So I did not take that as into account as I should have when I made my character. Because, like, some of the ways you guys were talking about stuff, like, there were some serious, like, heavy moments and stuff. So I was like, all right, well, you know, this is a role-playing game, so we're going to play a role. So I picked this, like, altruistic, like, in-depth backstory, and then everybody's just like, dicks, 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 dicks. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I will adapt.
You thought it was Lord of the Rings, and it's Always Sunny in the Seven Realms.
Pretty much. That said, on the one hand, like, I've kind of grown attached to my character, and I don't want him to die. But when he
I like your character.
But when he does, y'all ain't ready.
Oh.
It's going to be, you're either going to love him or you're going to hate him.
Oh. And, I mean, in fairness, a lot of the comedy and the dicks is out of character. Not all of it.
Not all of it.
But not all of it.
Definitely not all of it.
You've seen how I play.
And I say that kind of jokingly, but everybody kind of is pretty just like.
Super chill.
Everybody's funny.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's character is...
They have quirks.
Yeah. Yes.
Amanda's character is really funny because she's always angry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And her hair catches on fire.
Liam and Barry are funny because their bromance is just epic.
At all times. All times be broing.
And that's me and Trevor's characters.
Yeah.
Ben's character's funny because Ben's funny.
Oh, my God. Ben and his one-liners. The man is the king of one-liners.
Oh.
Oh, man, I really wish you were around for this first campaign. This new one is good.
The first one, Ben was the star.
Yeah, Ben has spun some gold as the bard, but as the cleric, oh, my
Perfect.
God.
Perfect.
Yeah. Still just,
yeah.
I have a confession. I am a hill dwarf.
Now, super fun. I fell into D&D like really hard after like you. We did the Lost Mines of Phandalir, I believe.
Phandalver, I think.
Phandalver,
is what it was.
Phandalippin. But it's like that good intro in, gets you kind of your feet wet. It's a good start. I'd recommend it for anybody who's starting into D&D. And then from that point on, the term obsession comes to mind. For me, at least. Because I remember I was working midnights, 12-hour shifts, where I just didn't have a lot to do. And I read everything there was to read about D&D, got super into it, designed 1,000 characters on Hero Forge, and just let it take over me a little bit.
You also, like, handcrafted a wooden, like, box and, like, a spell book. And
cool.
The first... As an art school dropout, I'm required to do these things. my first character was a warlock, so for the warlock, I made a spell book that opened up and was empty, where I could roll my dice and store all my character stuff in, and it was super cool and had all these rune things on. And then we stopped playing that campaign, and I don't have anything to build for a barbarian.
Yep. Because if you want to talk about obsession, yes, Trevor hit that mark. But if Trevor hit that mark, I don't know what to label what happened to Andrew.
Andrew he wrote the book. He set the bar high.
Because Andrew got so obsessed with it that after buying all of his own books, he decided that he wanted to make his own world so that he could design his own. And he has binders and folders filled with all of this lore, maps, and other information.
Which is hilarious, because like the last 4 times we've played, he has just thrown it out the window and has winged it.
Just
because he couldn't remember what he wrote and didn't want to get out of his chair to go find it. Because
it was like a year ago when he wrote all this.
Yeah, so he's got like all that stuff in his room somewhere. But and also it doesn't help that like... We aren't going through things in conventional ways. We are big proponents of like, well, there's a front door. Let's just go through that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it? Last session, we started robbing a building that we didn't even know what it was. We saw it was heavily guarded, and we just decided we wanted the stuff inside.
No. We didn't try to rob it. We wanted to find out what was inside. What was inside just happened to be a giant vault, and we wanted to find out what was in the vault.
Turns out it was cash. It was all cash.
So much cash.
We didn't get the cash.
We did not get the cash. We were going to end up killing all of the guards.
I contend we could have done it.
We could have.
I mean, we could have, but...
Then we'd be monsters.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We're trying to be good creatures.
that's where that role-playing gets in. And
but once Too Sweet's gone, uh-oh.
You act like you're our voice of reason, but okay, I mean, you kind of are.
Between me and Barry.
Yeah, like, you guys
Barry is Jesse in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who talks like Terry from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm.
Look, Barry loves push-ups, and he loves the sun. because he's a sun soul monk.
Lovely.
he's so much fun. It's so much fun to play. Yeah, getting into that role is the half the fun, though. Like, and you just gotta, that's one of the things that you really have to allow yourself to do.
Let go of shame
and just have fun getting into the role.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can get into the role, you can. It's super mm-hmm. fun.
I practiced my Scottish accent for 2 weeks before the start of this campaign, and it's still bad.
I was gonna say, that's practiced.
That's practiced. That's practiced.
You did play in a kilt last time.
I play in a kilt every time, Asa.
Oh yeah, that's true.
There's
yeah.
only been one time where he has it. Well, it's because he didn't have time to change.
I didn't have time. I came straight from work.
It's because I keep because we play every other Friday. Mm-hmm. So every other Friday we go up to Villainous Grounds, which is the best place in the world. True. And you wear pants there. So that's why every time I only see you in the kilt, not every time.
Oh yeah, because it, for whatever I'm sitting reason, it just down. It's yeah. I also own three kilts and try to wear them as often as I can. Just D&D seems like an applicable time, as my character is basically a Scottish Highlander.
Now, it's important to note that Trevor does not go out into public without purpose of wearing a kilt.
It's true. It's true. I'll be wearing a kilt, actually, this weekend in Perryville, competing in the Brewmaster Games. And I believe that all great men should compete in a kilt if they can.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And that's going to do it for our D&D talk here, guys. On our tabletop talk, we were going to do more board games, but, time.
Magic.
So what we're going to do now...
does with money, magic sucked up a surprisingly significant portion of our time this evening.
Something about its nature.
So that's going to be it for that part. Now, real quick... Just a heads up, if you guys want to turn it off, you don't want spoilers. We're going to talk about, this is a comic book show, hit some comic books a little bit. We are going to talk about The Wedding from Batman.
Batman number 50 of the Rebirth run. It's at this point, I think it's about a month old. I think there have been two more issues that have come out.
Yeah.
It's
51 and 52
have
both.
I've been wanting to, we haven't been able to do Nerds for Hire since, because we were going to have one. It was going to be the week after and it was perfect. But then things. Yep. So I've been desperately wanting to talk about this with someone. So yeah, we are getting into full spoilers for Batman number 50. Batman.
Batman number 50.
So
if you don't want it spoiled, go ahead and sign out now. And yeah, we're gonna go full spoiler because we really want to discuss what happened in Batman 50, the wedding of Batwoman. Wait.
Nope.
Batman and Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be rough.
Oh.
All right. So once again. If you do not want spoilers, we love you. Have a nice night. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Or
for everyone else, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it.
Hated it.
Didn't hate it.
Well, you're hated wrong. It.
But
okay, I didn't hate it until the last two pages.
See, yeah.
And that was my big one. Is it's because so. If you're listening to this still, we're assuming you read it. In case you haven't, you don't care about it. For months now, they have been building
months
that Batman and Catwoman are now
since
in
the fourth arc yeah. from Tom King.
Yeah,
multiple comic runs tied into this thing
because it started with the War of Jokes and Riddles.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
is where this that's where they the issue before that is when they get engaged.
Is when they get engaged because and then the War of Jokes and Riddles is Batman confessing to Catwoman the worst thing he's done, which is when he tried to stab
the Joker.
The Joker.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
No, he's trying to stab the Riddler.
No, because Joker stopped him. That's yep. right. But Batman and Catwoman have had such a relationship through, like Trevor said, runs and runs. That has been a romantic entanglement of some sort forever.
And it really shows it off in, this book.
Specifically. So cool. Of, all of the different, art styles and,
loved that.
Different costumes, their experiences, different art styles, costume designs. It's so cool. And because it's more of a love letter to that relationship.
Yeah, because and I loved how they did this. You had the page on the left was Batman's love letter to Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
The page on the right was Catwoman's love letter to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to the end.
Right.
And it sounded like they were doing their vows. is the way you're meant to, I guess, interpret this at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's awesome. That's and the what way I they it do was. It is until so
beautiful cool. And yeah, and running through all the old like images of Batman, Catwoman mm-hmm. throughout the years, and like even the they had like callbacks to the '80s and nineties stuff in there. I loved it.
The purple suit with the giant cat ears.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was so cool. And
until you get to the scene in the car where Catwoman is talking to I can never it's not Hope, is it?
I don't remember her name.
I can't remember.
The character they introduced recently that...
Who was in, like, Batman Eternal, who killed, like, who was the response... Who... Catwoman was in prison for killing hundreds of people, but it turned out it was actually... She was taking the blame for this girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Catwoman's best friend we've never heard about till now.
Kind of. Until recently.
Until right. recently.
Fairly recently.
So... And
I
then
guess she'll be an important plot point in the future.
They're seen together, and it's like, oh, even though it's a point that has been brought up by Batman to, like, Alfred and Dick and other people, of Batman can't be Batman if he's happy. And it's an interesting point, because it's... Tom King is so good, and my thoughts are all running together, so I feel like I'm sounding stupid, but the reason I didn't like the twist that Catwoman leaves him at the altar... They are supposed
that is
to,
the twist, by
they are
the way.
Supposed to meet up on this rooftop with their... each. They bring their own closest friend. Batman, it's Alfred. Tears when that happens.
I'll be honest, I got a little misty-eyed for a lot of this.
Alfred assumed it was going to be Dick. And
Dick assumed
Alfred
it was going to be Dick. Assumed it was going to be Superman.
Yeah, and so... But Batman's like, no, it could only have been you. You're the only one who has always been here.
And then not crying. You're crying.
Alfred's crying, and it's so touching. Catwoman, it's gonna be her. This her friend. They get this judge who's drunk enough to be able. He's not too drunk that he can't perform the ceremony, but he'll be drunk enough that he won't remember doing the ceremony mm-hmm. because it's not Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle marrying. It's Batman and Catwoman,
mm-hmm. right?
And so,
but the paperwork will be legitimate for Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
I thought they said that wasn't happening. Again, it's been a month since I've read this, but I thought it was...
Doesn't really Bruce matter Wayne at this could, point what it was going to be.
Bruce Wayne could never marry Selina Kyle because everyone knows Selina Kyle is Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And if billionaire Bruce Wayne marries Catwoman, that's just too...
Well, I mean, if that were going to be the case, then there'd be no point in getting a judge involved.
I thought about, yeah,
because, yeah, that you can't marry alter egos. But they didn't want to do, they couldn't do, but like my interpretation of that mm-hmm. is that they couldn't have a big public wedding for the reason you're right. talking about. They couldn't have a big public wedding where Bruce Wayne marries Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
Which is what would be expected. They had to do a wedding in private mm-hmm. and they weren't going to be in costume. Like Bruce wasn't dressed as Batman at the altar.
Neither one of them was. She wore her dress.
She wore a dress.
The dress she stole.
The dress she stole. I enjoyed that issue. God, that was a great issue.
Everything building up to this was magic. Beautiful, magic. Golden, in, magic.
In the main Batman arc.
Yes.
I wasn't super...
The preludes were... some of them were okay.
Some of them were okay. Some of them were rough to watch. Like, I dug...
The Red Hood Anarchy one was cringeworthy.
See, but the thing that saved that one for me was Red Hood's relationship with... Like, they expanded on Red Hood's relationship with Bruce and Selina mm-hmm. a little bit. Same thing with Damian's.
Like, I like Damian's.
Like, you know, no, you're like, I'm not replacing your mom, because that is an actual conversation that someone marrying someone who has a small child would have to go through.
Yes.
And I love the way they handled that. But yeah, the preludes overall the preludes were skippable. But the Booster Gold arc.
Also,
leading
the
up
preludes
to it,
were not Tom King.
Yeah, that's worth noting.
Yeah, yeah.
The Booster Gold arc was amazing.
It was surprisingly good.
The annual.
Oh my God!
Made me cry actual tears.
Which one was the annual?
The annual.
It was all of the different stories about them, like together. But the one where it was in the future, and one of them is dying, and you don't know which one.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we can fix this. Like, and it's like, no, it's time. And it's just like. And it's because Bruce mm-hmm. is the one that leaves Selina. And that's why I don't really like that this happened, is because now we have seen multiple futures that this happened and it went through. And now it's like, oh, but we're undoing all of that. And it's like, but don't though. But the big kick in the teeth is how all of this was seemingly now orchestrated by Bane.
To break his latest attempt to break the bat.
And he did finally. which I'm excited to see the fallout. I haven't read 51 or 52 yet.
Okay, yeah. The problem with, I've read 51, haven't gotten 52 yet because it's released since we've last been there. I'm not going to spoil anything out of 51 other than nothing is answered in terms of the wedding.
Oh, that's annoying.
It goes straight to the jury duty arc that we knew was coming.
Yeah.
Which, the jury duty arc, way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, neat. They figured out a way to make that really
I mean,
cool.
I assumed it was going to be good because it's Tom King, and at this point, he could tell me, he could be like, "Hey, oh, hey, by the way, Tom King is writing a Detective Chimp run, and I'm picking up the first arc."
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way, Trevor, but Tom King writes a Detective Chimp arc? Fine, I'll pick it up.
Because at this point, Tom King can do no wrong. Like, he's kind of swapped.
I don't know, Tom King just did a whole lot of wrong.
In fairness, I imagine that's DC's direction.
That's probably true.
He wrote it the best he possibly could.
See, and I don't think, like, it wasn't necessarily bad storytelling. It's just like, this feels...
I just don't like...
It was great storytelling.
I don't like the idea that Bane has now been able to orchestrate... Because, like, did he orchestrate Selina falling in... Like, did he put them falling in love? Was he only... orchestrated this one girl because she's there seen kneeling before Bane.
Yeah.
Even though he's in Arkham and there's all these other villains.
Because it's kind of hinted that she
was
the one
in there. There's a guy dressed as Batman.
I think that's Wrath.
Oh.
Or it's, oh no, they.
Azazel? No.
No, because he's a good guy. Yeah. Wrath is like a former cop who. Basically, Wrath is Punisher.
Okay.
But he was a former cop, but now he sees Batman as a half measure. So that could have been him.
So he dresses unless as Batman.
Yeah. Because he's framing Batman for, he's trying to he's trying to push Batman over the line. Once he gets over this whole no killing thing and stops being a pansy, he can be he can truly rid Gotham of crime.
It's not wrong.
So he's trying to but anyway. Also backpacking on the whole I'm afraid of what Batman looks like. Well, now you're gonna be dead too. So, did he plant this seed in Selina Kyle's friend to try to get her to be like,
that's my guess, because it seemed like she was the one that really planted the seed of, like, can he really be Batman if he's happy?
Right, which is a legitimate concern and a very intimate detail that I feel like Selina Kyle probably would have come up with on her own. So I don't, like, it's weird. It's one of those things where it's like, all right, well, now I'm going to have to just see how it plays out.
And I wanted to get, like, I meant to get the Catwoman issue to see if any questions were answered there.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't read it yet.
I don't know. I should probably get it and see if it's going to go over anything. Because, like I said, Batman 51 was super frustrating in that nothing. Like I said, super interesting book. And it's definitely showing that Batman's not handling this well. You'll see why.
Yeah.
And it's the way he did it is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I hate that DC right here really had a great chance to shake up the status quo of Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, actually have Batman and Selina Kyle married in the main universe.
In the main universe, give him something to fight for. Give, like, show a whole new side. Evolve Batman as a character for the first time and God knows how long.
Exactly. First time since Damian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're just like, in the last two pages, they're like, nah, bro.
Now instead we've made this a new way for Bane to be cool again. Which, granted, I like the fact that Bane's cool again.
Also, Bane was already cool because the I Am Bane arc
was
amazing.
It really
Bane
was.
Bane was cool. Bane was fine. We did. Mm.
Yeah. But Bane, I'm angry. The Bane comic book that they did, like, what was it, Bane?
Conquest. It was Conquest. It
was
not good.
Well, that's the word that comes through my mind, too, but I was like, that can't be right. Yeah, no, it was apparently awful.
Yeah, it was not good. I dropped it after, really? Like, two or three issues, which broke my heart, because Bane is, like...
Bane is one of my, like, he's in my top three favorite Batman
movies. Yeah, I know he's up in yours for sure.
I'm on a rotating list. My number one is pretty consistently Scarecrow, but it's also pretty consistently Bane.
Fair.
Like, those are my top two. Like, I recognize
Kite
that...
Kite Man all day, baby.
Hell yeah.
Now.
I recognize that neither of them are his greatest villain, but they are my favorite.
Yes. Mm. So, and that's fine. Like, for me, it's like, Two-Face, Bane, and then the third one kind of rotates around.
Two-Face, like, is also, like, I recognize his importance, and I very much enjoy him for the most part. But
I just like Two-Face as a character.
It's a cop-out for me, but Joker.
Which is understandable.
And it kind of goes without saying...
It's one of those things where, like, overexposure has burned me out a little bit on the Joker.
That's fair.
I like the Joker, and a lot of Joker stories are some of the best Batman stories ever told.
Ever.
But he's still just not my favorite villain.
I will say it kind of helps that he's been used so sparingly in comics recently.
That is good.
That it, like, he's kind of, the magic is back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Scott Snyder only used him in two arcs, and those were arguably two of his best arcs.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. And then even Tom King has used him limitedly here. Like, we saw the jokes of War of Jokes and Riddles, and he was really good in that.
He was really good in that. But he played, like, side by side with Riddler, though, so it wasn't, like, mm-hmm. Joker saturation.
Right. And then there's also this lead-up where he's waiting for the invitation.
Because Joker is clearly going to be Batman's best man.
Right.
Clearly.
He just hasn't gotten his invite yet because Batman doesn't know where to send it.
Right. Oh, well, there's weddings happen in churches, so I'll go to a church. Oh, look, there's already a wedding. Well, we need to get these people out of here because this isn't the wedding. Oh, that scene with just like the guy praying and just like the bangs.
Yeah.
Whoo.
Yeah.
It's good. Terrible, but it's so...
Tom King writes a phenomenal Joker.
He really does.
He writes phenomenal. Like, and so, just a real quick sidebar, Tom King is my new Scott Snyder. Like, maybe it's just when you write a solo Batman book, you show how great you are, but Scott Snyder has really dropped off for me because of how much of a cluster F the metal was.
Yeah.
And then also this new Justice League run.
I wanted to like metal.
I am not loving it. Like, don't get me wrong, I loved metal. Like,
There were linchpins there that were rough to swallow.
Oh yeah, and he's kind of following into those same, I am so focused on this giant universe expanding thing that none of these smaller moments are making any sense anymore.
Or having any real impact.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're supposed to, but they just don't.
This universe shattering thing, except it's only universe shattering in this specific book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's just a DC thing, and they warned us that they were going to do this with like mm-hmm. Rebirth in general,
right?
That like books weren't going to have a significant impact on other books, but
which I asked for, but now that I'm getting that, it's like
because
this isn't great.
It's okay when it's like a little bit, because like Marvel, I feel like does a really good job of that, like where it's something happening in another book, they bring in a character, it impacts them a little bit, they might talk about it, but it's not like this universe, like you said, a universe shattering thing, like metal
mm-hmm. was universe shattering.
Yeah, people were dying, like main characters
were
disappearing.
Most of the
people
were dying.
Yeah.
And like the world was going to crap, but then you go and read more about Batman getting ready for the wedding.
Right.
Or you read
and
more
Flash
about
Flash is sad cuz Iris is mad at him.
Right, like, it just doesn't...
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, Iris is, like, strapped to a rocket going halfway through the hell zone right now.
Right, like...
Last time I checked, something of that nature.
Yeah, something horrible is happening here. Like, why is this happening? I'm kind of with you because I did really think, like, okay, good, separation is good. Mm-hmm. We don't need these events to impact everything. But I'm like, well, it should a little.
Yeah, they should mention it. But yeah, so that like that's kind of a, I'm not souring on Scott Snyder. It's just like, I'm wildly underwhelmed in what
his
he's
more
been,
recent works.
In Justice League, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out lightning struck.
And,
but.
It's not even that, like, so something happened in Titans with Wally West, OG Wally, that kind of totally should have changed that character. And then it just kind of went away. Like, unless I missed it, because there was some time travel shenanigans. It happened in the crossover with Teen Titans that Damian did.
Why do you keep reading Flash if you hate the time travel shenanigans?
Because it's really good. Like, it kind of gets a pass.
Fair enough.
I'm really excited. I'm finally caught up to where I can start Flash War.
So, I heard Flash War was an incredible
event.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to get into that. The build-up to it was... Like, not the build-up to Flash War itself, but the arc leading into that was great, except they really gave away Grodd's reveal. And that wasn't... It didn't feel super necessary, but it's still really good. And it's one of my favorite things to come out of Rebirth, so...
Gotcha.
But,
all right.
But yeah, just like this Wally West thing, and it's like in this Flash book, because it happened in Titans, and I think they still acknowledge it in Titans, but now Wally is in Flash... And they're just, and he's like, no, I'm totally okay. No, you're not. People know you're not. Damian did the thing, and now you're not. Can we acknowledge that, please? Or
nah.
Nah,
we're we got other stuff to do.
Nah. That was in that book. It's very different. Mm. Yeah. All right. So we should probably get back all the way to the wedding now.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Yeah,
talking about. Talking a little bit more about that. So
try to put bad things behind us, and Jesse just keeps dragging us back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because if I let the train go too long, we're going to be here for another hour. It's already a quarter. It's already 20 after 9.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah,
I need
to. So either way, yeah, the wedding angered me. Like, I need to know where exactly they're going with it. I need to, I guess, read Catwoman and see what happens there, because, you know, it's very explicit that the Catwoman book spoils the crap out of Batman 50.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So, yeah. Which,
can we see spoiling Batman 50 in a newspaper?
Oh, my God.
Because, like,
I missed that.
See,
so.
I didn't read the spoiler.
I didn't either. Thank
so
God.
I don't know what the spoiler was, but I saw on the internet, like, oh, hey, by the way, don't read the New York Times, because DC put a giant spoiler a day before it came out.
Yeah, so this wasn't even like the Wednesday it came out when people would have at least kind of had a chance to read it. This was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They released it on Tuesday. The results of the wedding is what was leaked.
Yeah, so I
Thank
think
God
it was...
Thank God I don't read the New York Times.
I think it was someone in our group chat. I know Shannon for sure, but someone else. It was either... And they're all listening.
It was either Cody or Hunter.
Cody or Hunter. If you read the... What was the spoiler?
I'm pretty sure it was just straight up the results of the wedding.
Of her leaving him on the...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that
But
was
I don't
it.
Know if they showed
are
a page.
Weird now.
But I mean, like, I don't know if they showed a page
like,
or if it was a...
It was just a weird decision that DC made where they went public with what happened and, like, because it was posted in the New York Times, but it wasn't, like, an ad that DC put in there, I don't think. Was it?
I thought it was an ad.
Was it really?
Yeah, because how else would it be in there?
I thought that it was something that, like, somebody from DC let out, and then it was reported in the Times.
Is the New York Times reporting on comic books now?
It may not have even been the New York Times, but
the more I think about it, the more it's probably an ad.
Yeah, the more I think about the New York Times has enough stuff to talk about than Batman's
okay,
wedding.
So it was New York Times, because that was the number three search result when I when I started typing Batman 50 spoilers.
New York Times.
Continue with what your grievances. While I look this up.
Oh.
I mean, I pretty much addressed all of mine.
Basically. Oh, I can complain more. well, see, I'm angry because it's fresh, mostly, because I read this on the way to, like an hour or two ago on the way to dinner. And, like, I'm in the car, and just I get to the last page, and I was like, Jesse, what happened? What happened? What did I just read?
Yeah, versus, like, for me and Asa, we read it, like, basically the
Saturday.
Weekend after it
yeah,
came
the
out.
Saturday after.
And yeah, so we've had a few weeks now to just like sit and stew on it. Because I remember I was in my bed, which is where I get most of my comic book reading done. And I finished the book and I'm like, no, this isn't okay.
Mm-mm.
What you just did is a bad thing. DC, why?
I always just get my hopes up when they're going to do some kind of they build up a huge status quo change, and it's just, it's like watching a TV show with a monster of the week, and there's like a long story arc, and like, this will finally like change things. We'll have new stuff, and then nah, everybody's good. Everybody's good. Everybody's got their old jobs back. Nobody's making fun of them in school. Next episode will pick up right where we left off. That's what it feels like. It feels like lazy writing. It feels like
And I don't know if it's lazy. It's just like, because Tom King has said this is not the end of the Batman Catwoman story.
No.
So presumably this is going to get picked back up after the jury duty arc, and hopefully by 2019, Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne will be wed.
So help me God.
Hopefully, I need that to happen. I need it in my life.
Okay, so it looks like. This didn't have. This wasn't out. This came out July 1st. The issue released on July 4th. It wasn't an ad. It was an article written by someone.
Uh huh.
In the vows section. And it's titled "It Just Wasn't Meant to Be Batman," where he runs down the history of the character, the lead up to the wedding, and then In the last paragraph, in the final moments of their story, the bride and groom end up at different locations in the early morning hours. In a silent page, Miss Kyle sits on a rooftop contemplating. And just, yeah. Mr. Wayne realizes she is not coming. He throws off his tie and takes a similar leap.
Yep. Yeah.
So this dude. So apparently this dude just spoiled it.
Oh, like so he wrote, that guy is a jerk.
Yeah.
What's his name? Let me get my pitchfork.
Oh, I'm sure pitchforks have been raised, yeah, leveled, and thrown.
George Gene Gustins.
George, why? I know you're listening, George, because you got, you know, important stuff to do.
So three days before the issue even came out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I remember that being a huge fiasco.
So, yeah, so I guess it wasn't an ad. It looks like it wasn't an ad.
It was just an article written.
Yeah, it was just like some dude like wrote an article about it.
Jeez.
Ran in the headline. Because it was even in just the headline of the article.
Oh, my God, why?
Yeah.
Come on, New York Times. Get it together.
That's super shady.
That being said, we went through a whole New York Times discussion, and nobody said fake news. Good job, guys. High fives.
But you just... Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, man.
Trevor ruined it. All right. Never again. Trevor's off the show.
That seems fair.
Was it?
One and done.
It's me or Dalton, guys.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us. Let us know what you thought of Batman 50. Hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Let us know what you thought about the wedding. Let us know what your grievances were.
Bring the rage.
I will say, too, if you're listening to this and you want to tell us how you thought, if you want to get more into spoilers, send us a private message or email us at batmanwedding@podzilla1985.com.
Give it a fun title like F That Wedding.
Or if you disagree with me.
But if you just want to have like a string of comments on the Facebook page, just try to keep that spoiler free for the people who have already tuned out and plan on reading it and coming back. I know we're at like a month past, but there's only so much time.
And some people are waiting on the trade.
Yeah.
True.
They're going to be waiting a while.
Yeah.
Or if you disagree with our opinions, you can come down to Minglewood Brewery where I work and I will fight you.
He'll give you a beer after.
If you've earned it.
If you fight well.
We'll see how it goes. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.